Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is Pastor Derry. Today we continue our new series titled, Be the Church, Change the World. In part two of this series, we focus on the reality that God has supernaturally and strategically placed people in our spheres of influence that need our ministry. But we may not currently be looking at ourselves as the salt and the light that Jesus has called us to be. Join us as we discuss the stewardship of influence. Listen close, and I'll talk with you at the end of the broadcast.
Church, change the world. Be the church, change your world. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse 18 through 21. Ephesians 5, verse 18 through 21. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 begins with, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Yesterday, we saw some very tragic foolishness happening in our country. We saw some really tragic foolishness. We saw people fighting over an ideology. An ideology that is not only limited in its scope, but it is an ideology that is looking backwards. Not only is the concept itself limited, but the problem is it's looking backwards. And we're fighting over backwards. We're fighting over stuff in behind us. And we're fighting over it. And here's honest truth. Many of those of us who are fighting are sitting in church this morning. There's more than one kind of wine. There's alcoholic wine, and there's an intoxication of foolishness. There's an intoxication of things that we hold, that we want to grasp, and we want to make be something to make us feel good. So there's certain things that we do to try to make ourselves feel good, which become a form of intoxication because they're not based on reality or truth. When I was an unbeliever, there's certain things I wanted to believe because they made me feel better. I was being intoxicated with foolishness. So this passage says, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation. In other words, when you're drunk with wine, you're going to feel whatever you feel for a few minutes, and then it's going to dissipate. And reality comes back to you. Don't be drunk with things that give you temporary pleasure. Come on. I'm not going to get into all the ideology about the stuff that transpired, but the more important thing is that we as Christians have to make sure that we're not artificially getting drunk on things. Because if we're going to be the church, we have to be the church. And being comes before doing. In other words, whatever you are is what you eventually do. So you have to be before you do. Because otherwise, you're going to do for a while, and then you're going to drop back to what you are. Because ultimately, you do what you are. If you're a prayer warrior, then you'll pray. And even if you don't pray for a while, you'll fall back into praying because that's what you are. Amen. Whatever you are is what you gravitate back to at some point. So the word here says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, when you allow the Spirit to fill you, the Spirit starts to become the substance of who you are. We want the Holy Spirit to become the substance of who we are, because when the Spirit becomes the substance, then whenever we get into trouble, we fall back. The Spirit is what comes out. See, when I was angry all the time, then I would default to anger because I would be angry and then I'd act like I wasn't angry and then something would happen and I'd fall back into what I was. And I'd be angry. And I'd sit and be angry for no reason. There's no cause, nothing else around me. But that's what I was because that's what was in my heart in abundance. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. Whatever's in you in abundance is going to come out of you at some point. And if you try to be drunk with wine or anything else, you temporarily dull what it is. And then when it dissipates, then you are what you are. God is working with us to put his spirit in us to such a way that we begin to look like God. That we begin to look like God. We begin to act like God. We begin to be like God because we are indeed new creations in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Keep your finger in Ephesians because I'm going to come back here. The team is going to work with me because this ain't notes. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If you've been around church for a while, you've heard this before. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what?
New creation.
He's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. When you're in Christ, you don't have to get drunk with wine because you're a new creation. I don't have to dull who I am because God is working something new in me. He's creating me, making me a new creation. He's working from the inside out to transform what I used to be into his image and his likeness. I am more and more. Every day I'm meditating on the word. Every day I'm praying. Every day I'm putting myself in that position. I am being changed to look more and more like God. Every day. Now, if I don't choose to be transformed, I will always look like what I look like. Even though God has redeemed me, even though God loves me, even though God has his hand on me, even though I will still look the same. This is what the word says. It says that a slave or a servant and an heir look exactly the same when they're children. A servant, if you think about a king rules this place. He's in his royal palace. His servant's child and his child run around together and look exactly the same. You probably can't tell which one is which. But as they grow, something changes. One starts looking and acting like royalty. The other starts looking and acting like a servant. Even though they're the same. Jesus said, hey, gave a parable. He said, a man sows into his seed, and there's tares and there's wheat. And this enemy puts tares into the garden, the wheat and the tares. He said, you got to let them grow up together. Because when they mature, you'll see what they are. But praise the Lord, we are the children of God who had the seed of God placed in us, and we're all growing up. And sometimes we look like tares, but God said, nope, that's not a tare. It's my wheat. That's my wheat growing up. You don't realize what it is. It looks like everything else, but it's growing up into maturity, and when it gets to full maturity, it's going to show you what it is. And we're all sitting in this place today because God has already ordained that we be wheat. So the enemy wants to come and says, you need to be artificially dulled to deal with your pressure or your pain or your history or whatever it is. You need to be artificially dulled. So take this or take that or do this or do that or do whatever. Be covered over. But we all find out that stuff don't last. We all find out it doesn't work. And so the challenge for us that was given by the prophetic word was to not continue in a way that you come into church feeling down, but that you recognize who you are. Recognize God has called you to be wheat. He has given you his spirit. And with his spirit, you need to then allow that spirit to transform who you are so that when you walk around day to day, you are as strong as you are in the middle of the greatest worship service you've ever been in. The greatest worship service I've ever was in. Greatest worship service I was ever in. I got caught up. I know I was moving with God in heavens. I was by myself in the car. I was by myself in my car. Driving down the street, and I got caught up with God. Greatest worship service I ever been to. But then there's great corporate worship services where we come in together and we bring our experience of being with God together with other people who've been experienced with God. And then all of a sudden, then it becomes not just visible to me, it begins visible to the world who's looking at us. And the world sees God's glory rather than our foolishness. Because you know what the world saw yesterday? The world saw human foolishness. It saw foolishness of people who were drunk with a different kind of wine. I was, the night before I went to boot camp when I was in the Marine Corps, they made us go downtown Oakland and we stayed in this hotel down there. So you got a bunch of young people getting ready to go to way to the military. You stick them all in one hotel downtown Oakland, I think that's a bad idea. They're all going out of town. They're all leaving, you know. Oh, my God, Lord. But I was one of them. And that night, two guys that we met, we're all walking down Broadway, downtown Oakland. And there used to be a movie theater called the Roxy. So we're walking down by the Roxy, and two people are coming out of the movie theater, and there's about six of us coming down the street. And one of the guys that's walking out of the theater looks and sees us and says, "Where are you bloopity bloops going?" Because he'd been sipping, right? Now, somebody else with us also been sipping. "Who are you talking to, bloopity bloop?" And so two drunk people start talking crazy to each other. And they're going to have a fight. And if you've ever seen two drunk people trying to fight, it was the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever seen. They swinging like this and step back and talking crazy. And then they're going to go in again. And they're going to wrestle each other. And they fall on the ground and tear each other's clothes and get up. And neither one of them are injured from a hit from the other. They injured from sliding on the concrete. Because when you get drunk with wine, you do stupid stuff. So Paul has to tell the Ephesian church, don't be drunk with wine. Don't let this artificial stuff get to you. You have something better. You have the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God to be there with you. And the Spirit has been given to you so that you would never be an orphan. In other words, you would never be without God. You would never be without the absolute greatest and most powerful thing there is. The presence of God. The presence of God. God gives us his Spirit to give us access to him. And with his Spirit, he then gives us access to all things, even love. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans
Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Remember, when I say don't be drunk with wine, I'm not just talking about vino. Anything artificial that you're trying to use to take the place of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. My ability to love is not based on my emotions. It's based on the fact that the Holy Spirit has been given to me. The Holy Spirit's gift to me is what actually empowers me to love, even when I don't want to love. Even when I don't think I have to love. The Holy Spirit is a gift to me, given to me to allow me to love. He's a gift freely given to me. The Holy Spirit given to me. And my hope will never disappoint me because I have the Holy Spirit. See, my sense of feeling good about something or not feeling about good about something is no longer based on what it is. It's now based on my hope that's in me. And my hope is being brought me by the Spirit of God in me. And so now I'm not disappointed by what happens. Now I understand that just because it's not the way I want it to be, I still have the love of God and I still got hope that it's going to change. I still got hope that it's going to be transformed, changed by the renewing of my mind. I have a new thought, a new process, a new understanding. And now I'm not waiting on you to change. I'm believing God's working. If you never change, God's working. Amen? If things never change, God's working. And I have been given the Holy Spirit. I don't have to be artificially dulled. I got the Spirit. Tell your neighbor, say, I have the Spirit. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. We already covered this, but listen good. Because we're talking about the Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit freely given to us. Amen? Galatians 3, 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Say, Jesus hung on a tree for me. So I am free from the curse. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Say it again, the promise of the Spirit. Through faith. You receive the Spirit by faith. The Spirit allows you to not have to be drunk with wine. And the Spirit empowers you to love. Man. Faith works by love. Love comes from the Spirit. I receive the Spirit by faith. It is one big cycle that all adds to itself. The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. When we're talking about being the church, the one thing that you have to be the church is you need the Holy Spirit to be resident in you. You need the Holy Spirit to be your foundation, your core, your thing that God is bringing and using in you to transform you so that you don't have dependency on yourself, but on the Spirit. See, people's perception of the world comes in a couple of different ways. One of the ways that we perceive the world is that we are bigger than the environment. Some people look at the world and they believe they are bigger than the environment. And so they believe that they can step into the environment, take over, because I'm bigger than the environment. There's some people who walk into a room and they feel that the environment is bigger than them. So they come into the room and that's their perception. And so they try to find how they fit into the environment. Okay, that's fine. So you have different vantage points, different perspectives of looking at the world. When you know God, you realize you're not bigger than the environment. But instead of now trying to fit into environments, because I know the environment is bigger than me, but I also know that the environment is not bigger than God. So I walk in and God asks God, how do I fit into the environment? And if he says, dominate, then you dominate. If he says, be quiet, then you be quiet. If he says, move, then you say, move. Whatever he says, you do. And when you do, he then is able to inject himself into the environment that you go into. The problem is that by nature, we start to either falsely believe we're bigger than the environment or falsely believe that we're so small in the environment we can't do anything. So Christians will look at what happened yesterday and we'll say, God, glad it's over there. Because if it was here, I don't know what to do. If something breaks out right here, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do if tomorrow? And this actually happened to me. I go to work, and all of a sudden, there's a rally downtown. And then there's a rally, and it shuts down the freeway. What do you do? What are we supposed to do as Christians? Do we get drunk with wine and act like it's not there and dull ourselves to what is happening around us and then just go some other way? Or do we soberly address whatever the challenges are? Go to Ephesians, back to Ephesians 5. Verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, which is a dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We're supposed to fear God and submit to one another. We're supposed to fear God and submit to one another. It's a balance. It's a truth that needs to be embraced, that we have to recognize we're not supposed to be artificially preoccupied. Artificially preoccupied by the things that are going on around us. And so here's reality. Here's truth. We live in an environment where there is human trafficking in our city. We live in an environment where there are children failing in school. Not because they're not bright, but most likely because they didn't have anywhere to sleep last night. And they came to school and went to sleep. And they got to ask every class to take a nap before they have to go back and not have anywhere to sleep. We live in an environment where there are people who are overdosing on drugs. We live in an environment right now where people have now thought to themselves, well, I'll just go get a card. I'm stressed out. I'll get a card. And people used to go to the Red Cross for emergencies. Now they go to the Green Cross. To deal with stress, to deal with challenge of life. And then here we are, the church, placed into the earth in the middle of all this craziness. Here we are, the church, dropped right in the center of it all. Here we are. Will we get drunk with wine? Or will we sober and redeem the time? Because the days are evil. Go back up to verse 14. It says, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Light is revelation. Light is understanding. Light is the ability to see. Because when you're in the dark and somebody turns on the light, you say, wow, look at all that. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine. We have to understand what the will of the Lord is. We have to understand that God's will is here. It's ready. God's will is prepared to make us the church that God wants us to be. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm ready to be the church. Matthew chapter 5. This morning, I was getting dressed, and Holy Spirit brought this old song to my remembrance, and so I YouTubed it and brought it up. And it's a song by Denise Williams. She was singing gospel at the time, and the song says, tell me, if we are the light, why is the world so dark? If we are the light, why is the world so dark? You know why the world is dark? The world is dark not because you don't have power. Not, the world is not dark not because you don't have answers. The world is not dark because you don't know what to do. The world is dark because the adversary has tried to place a bushel over you. The world is dark because the enemy has tried to cloud your mouth from being able to speak freely. The world has tried to put a price tag on you telling the truth. That's why the world has grown dark. The world is not dark because the church is weak. The world is not dark because there's not power. The world is not dark because not because there's a prophetic voice in the world speaking the truth. That's not why the world is dark. God's already made sure that we have all those things. Look at this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but must be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You know what the world is trying to do? The world has got the church in such a political fray that we're so political, we're so trying to be political, that it's then trampled us underfoot. Because we're not designed to play that game. Carl talked me into playing this 40 and over league one time. So I was out of shape. He's over there laughing. I'm out of shape. And we go, show up. And we're all just here. Luan, you playing. We're all just here to get a little exercise in. It's not competitive. It's just, we're all just here to just have a good time. So the very first game, we get ready to play, do the little tip off. And I look and I see the guy who I'm tipping off again. We had played basketball together when we were kids, Vincent Coleman. Vincent's in shape. And they throw the little ball off. I get ready to jump. He's already up and tipped the ball, right? Like, oh, man. Man. So we start running up and down the floor. You know, and now my little pride is injured. I got out jumped. And so now I gotta hustle up. I gotta get in this thing. So I'm running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then probably about fifth time down the floor, I'm holding my shorts. Because I'm tired. And my chest is hurting. But my male pride drives me on. Can't take a time out. Can't stop. So I made my adjustment. And my son at halftime says, "Dad, you're the only basketball player I've ever seen who doesn't stay back on offense. He stays back on defense." Because I'm playing half court. I'm playing defense, and I let them go play offense. I just go to half court, back up. But I realized I'm trying to be a form of salt, but I'm not ready. I'm trying to do something I'm not ready to do. And so because I'm not ready, I'm getting trampled underfoot by my adversary because I wasn't prepared. Y'all got the picture? The church is not without ability. The church is not without skill. The church has lost its stamina. The church has lost its fortitude. The church has lost its ability to stand firm in the face of challenge. We have what we need. We just have to have that thing on the inside of us that lets us know that we are indeed the salt. Verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." If we take the high ground, we can't be hidden. Tell your neighbor, say, "You need to take the high ground." Verse 15, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." It doesn't say that unbelievers won't respond to your light. It says if you shine, they will see you. If you shine, they will see your works and they will give glory to God. We got to be ready to shine. But there are things that come to try to choke the word and to choke your light from being seen. And when the enemy can get into those areas and he can penetrate those areas, he will get you to look to the wrong things for satisfaction. Jeremiah 15, verse 19. You can look on the screen because I'm going to hit a couple of passages real quick. Jeremiah 15, verse 19. In this case, Jeremiah is having remorse regarding some prophecies that he's given, and he wished he hadn't given them. He's God's man, but he had to speak out, but then he starts regretting the fact that he actually was giving the word. He was regretting his position, regretting his vocation of what God was using him for. He regretted it. He wanted out of that. "I had enough of these people. I'm prophesying these people were telling what Gus, thus says the Lord. They try to kill me. They put me in prison. They're doing all kinds of stuff to me. I'm done. I'm through with this, Lord. I had enough." Can somebody say amen? Amen. But he had to repent. Verse 19, "Therefore, thus says the Lord," he's talking to Jeremiah, the prophet. Jeremiah the prophet. This is God talking to Jeremiah. Listen to this. If you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial. You got to be able to see what's beautiful in the midst of something ugly. God said, that's what I'm calling you to. Yeah, you're prophesying to people who don't want to hear you. Yeah, you're prophesying to people who don't like you. Yeah, you're prophesying. You're trying to take care and give life and truth to people who don't want to hear it. Yes, that's true. But I need you to see the precious in the middle of the vial. I need you to see what's precious, what's going on in the heart. I need you to see that I'm working on transitioning them, transferring them, bringing them life, bringing them newness in the middle of what is dark around them. But somebody's got to be able to reach into the darkness. Wow. Somebody who has a light has to be able to reach into the darkness and shine that light in there. Hallelujah. And then bring forth what's precious to God. You shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you not return to them. You know what that means? Actually, let's go to the other version. I have another version up there. Tony, would you bring that up, please? I think I have the English Standard Version, ESV. Praise the Lord. This is how the Lord responds. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you'll be my spokesperson. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you. So you know what happened yesterday? A group of people had an ideology other people don't agree with. And other people went out to protest against the other ideology. But you know what happened? Somebody went out to influence somebody else and got influenced. And then their fight broke out. We don't agree with that. So we're going to go and tell them we don't agree with it. And instead of being able to persuade them why they shouldn't believe what they believe, they got caught into believing and then they got into a war and a fight. Wow. See, when you go to a protest and the people who are out there already have guns and shields, you don't want to argue with them because they came to fight. If I show up for a peaceful protest and I have a shield, and a gun. I didn't come out there to protest. I came out here to have a fight because I know somebody's going to come out here and fight with me. Don't get lulled to sleep. You're going to influence them. Don't let them influence you. Man, don't this speak truth right here? That's why God said you're going to walk in love even against your enemies. Why? Because you're going to influence them. They're not going to influence you. Why? Because you got the love of God poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You're not operating out of just your emotions. You're operating out of the Spirit of God. So that's why you don't have to get pulled in, because you have the sufficiency of Christ in you. Whoa, you got sufficiency of Christ on the inside. I don't get pulled into your stuff because I got something better. I'm not going to get drunk with your wine. Are you kidding me? Just because you're serving don't mean I'm drinking. Amen. Woo! 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Listen to this. We're trying to be the church. We're trying to bring influence. We're not trying to be influenced. We're bringing the influence of God. We're trying to bring the influence of God. Not to get turned off of our direction, but to influence. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm called to influence. Remember, there's four kinds of leadership in the world. There's four kinds of leadership. There's strategic or visionary leadership that sees in the distance and says, this is where we're going. Then there is process leadership, which builds systems in order to get where we're going. Because you can't get there on a vision. You got to get there with a system. Then you have people leadership, which is people that interact with other people and inspire people to move forward. And then you have the last kind of leadership, which doesn't get respected. But if you don't respect it, you'll be a victim of it. It's influence. See, influencers are people who don't have to have power. They don't have to have anything. They just influence. They just influence. They make a statement. But because they are influential, other people jump on board with the statement. That's why he says here, you don't even have to have power. You have to have influence. You go to influence them. Don't be influenced. And this is what, listen to what then the Apostle Paul says. Paul said, this is the English Standard Version, but we will not boast beyond limits, but we'll boast only with regard to the area of influence God has assigned to us to reach even you. Tell your neighbor, say, oh, God gave me influence. There are people you have influence with, and you may not realize that you have influence. You may not realize that God has given you influence, but Paul said here to the Corinthian church, listen, I'm trying to tell you, I'm not going to brag about all this stuff. I'm just going to brag about the fact that I'm here to influence you, and that's what power God gave me. God gave me the power to be an influencer. When John the Baptist was about to be born, God sent Gabriel the angel to talk to the high priest and his wife. The high priest was a man of influence. So when the angel came and said, God sent me here. You're going to have a son, and he is going to be a rescuer of the people. He's going to be an usher of the Messiah. And they were older, and they had never had children. And so the priest starts to confess his unbelief in the prophetic word. So the angel looks at him and says, I am going to seal your mouth as long as she's with term with this baby. You're not going to be able to speak one word until she delivers this baby, because I'm not going to let your mouth influence people to not believe the word of the Lord. Sealed his mouth shut. He couldn't talk until the baby was born. Because we don't understand, our words have power. You have the Holy Spirit in you. The Spirit of God is in you. And the Spirit uses your words. And when you speak, they have power. You may not understand they have power, but your words have power. So much power that God, the angel, had to shut the man's mouth. So he couldn't stop the word of the Lord. See, you need to know you're the church. God has put power in your mouth. If you use your mouth, God, see what he say? He said God gave us influence. He gave us the power to influence, even influence you. He's given us power to speak life or to speak death. Proverbs chapter 18, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those that love it are going to eat its fruit. In other words, your mouth is going to create stuff around you, and that's what you're going to eat. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. It's in the power of your tongue, the power to influence things, influence outcomes, influence things around you, influence people. Yesterday, we were at this birthday event. And I'm at the event, and I run into a guy that I've known for a long time. He was somebody that used to be in ministers training courses that I used to teach. And he said, Pastor, he said, man, you changed my life. And he's always real excited about everything. So I'm like, okay, yeah, okay. He said, no. He said, I've been doing this outreach. And with this outreach, you showed me something in the word. And you showed it to me. And when I looked at it, he said, He said, it changed my life. He said, now I'm using exactly what you told me, and this is what the result is. And he started laying out the result. But it's not me. All I did was give him a word to influence him. But I didn't give him my words. I gave him the word. The word influenced him and changed his vantage point, changed his perspective. And when he changed his perspective, God increased his area of influence. Woo! Tell your neighbor, say, I'm the church. I got influence. Important thing here. Who did he have influence with? Not just everybody. He said, I'm not going to boast beyond my limits. In other words, there's people who I don't have influence. I ain't worried about them. Here's the problem with the church. We've been persuaded that mission work requires you to go overseas to people that you don't know. And it's valid. We need to go overseas because we're told to take the world gospel into all the world. We're supposed to do that. That's not the end. And that's not the only. Because what God has also done is God has given you influence in areas here. God told Joshua, Moses is dead. You've been waiting for Moses to lead people. But guess what? Moses is gone, brother. Now I'm with you. As I was with Moses, that's how I'm going to be with you. And guess what? You now are going to take these people into the promised land. Woo-wee. See, one day you were waiting on somebody else to do it, and then God comes and said, no, I ain't using somebody else. I'm using you. And you are going to take this people into the promise. And guess what? Some of them don't want to go. Guess what? Some of them are mad they're here. Guess what? Some of them don't even like it. Guess what? Some say you was just Moses' yes man all these years. Guess what? All that's going to be said, and all of it's true. However, today, if you be strong, if you be courageous, if you now meditate on my words, I'm going to give you the influence and the power to take these people to a new place. I'm going to give you courage and strength to take these people into a new place. Tell your neighbor, say, God gave me influence. I'm going to bring up a little slide here. Tony, you can bring up that. There we go. Circles of influence. There I am, big in the middle. But I have influence in different places. I have influence here at the church. Tell your neighbor, say, I have influence at my church. Guess what? You may not know you do, but you have influence in your church. You do. You know, do you realize that there are some people who walk in the door and they make other people smile just by walking in the door? Why? Because they have influence. They influence joy. They walk in smiling and everybody else smiles because they're smiling. Influence. It's power. Where else we got influence? We have influence in our government. We happen to live in a country where we can vote. We have influence. We happen to live in a country where if you don't like something in your city, you can make an appointment with your mayor and go down, sit in a chair across from your mayor and tell him what you really think. Hopefully you say something nice. You have influence. But you can tell him whatever you want to tell him. Our government is set that way. You can go to a city council meeting and fill out a card and stand up there, and 3 minutes you can say whatever you so desire. You can say whatever you want. I don't like none of y'all. I didn't vote for none of y'all. Next time I ain't voting for none of y'all. You can tell them whatever you think. Or you can say, you know what? I've been home praying about what to do about this neighborhood over here. And I believe an answer is whatever the Holy Spirit told you to tell them. Amen. 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 You You can have a prophetic word for your city, go fill out a card, and go and stand in the chamber and speak a prophetic word for 3 minutes straight. Because you have influence. You might not realize you have influence, but you have influence. Education. Just like you have a board that governs your city, you have a board that covers education in your city. The same rules apply. You can have public comment anytime you desire. You can make appointments anytime you want. You can step into any environment and you can be the light. But the question is, have we been persuaded that we're covered over? Arts. You can create. You can use the creative power of what you've been given. You can create something that influences people. What happens every Sunday here? A group of artists come up and they paint a picture of worship for you with their gifts and with their talents. They come and they paint with music and they bring forth a spirit for you to partake of. What do? They influence you with their art. That's what they do. Tell your neighbor, say, I got influence. What kind of artistic expression do you possess that you can create in order to bless people? Whatever you have as a gift, that gift is artistic in its nature. It's what depends on whether you use it for that purpose or not. Every gift from God has an artistic expression which can be brought forth. This is my art. This is my art. Me speaking to you, telling you what God says, that's my art that I've been given. So I'm going to give it to you the way I got it. It may be different than everybody else. And guess what? I used to be afraid of that. But now I don't care. Because I realize what I am. And I'm free to do that. What else? Business. Your business is an area of influence. Wherever you work, you're an influencer. There's somebody you influence wherever you work. You're there. Whether it's how you do your work or whether it's your interaction with the people, you have influence. You have influence in that place. Media. I don't do media. All y'all Facebook people do media. All y'all Twitter folks doing media. All your Instagrammers doing media. You're expressing through a medium that you're putting information out. You're an influencer, whether you realize it or not. And your influencer might be, I'm having a terrible day. I just really wish it'd be over. Your influence might be, oh man, this was terrible. Boy, but you know what? I'm gonna get them next time. Your influence may be, boy, I sure feel like doing whoop-de-what to somebody today. But it's your expression. It's your influence. Your family. You have influence in your family. We were having a family discussion a few days ago about behavior of one of my children. And as I'm listening to the discussion, I realize as the conversation's going on, just like me. Oh, brother. Just like me, and other people don't like it. Oh, man. Why? I influenced him. Oh. Oops. Yeah, anyway. Tell your neighbor, say, I have influence. See, this is what God has done. God has uniquely ordered the steps of your life by his design that is totally divine. He has orchestrated your steps and put you into a series of environments that cover any one little span of things, some stronger than others. But what he's done is he's given you power of influence in every place he's placed you. That's why Paul said, I'm not going to brag about all the other stuff. I'm going to brag about the fact God gave us influence with you. And I'm pouring into you. And I'm giving you what I possess. I'm giving you what I know. I'm giving you what I have. I'm pouring it into you because why? I'm going to influence you because Christ has influenced me. I'm going to pour out what Christ has given me to you. Turn to the book of Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbors that I am the light of the world. I'm not bragging. I'm just shining. Matthew 28, verse 16. When the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Tell your neighbor, say, it's okay to doubt. Verse 18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I want to put your focus on verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. God's given you influence and the ability to pass on to other people what God has passed on to you. Man. Here's truth. Some things you will tell people and they won't get it. Yet. Some people you will share what God told you and they're going to get it and run away with it. Pew. Run. Flourish immediately. Some people you're going to give them a word, they're going to flourish real quick, and then they're going to evaporate in the sun. Because Jesus gave a parable about this, about the sower and the seeds. Some people are going to get it, and they're going to get wrapped up, and they're going to go, and the thorns of life are going to choke them off. But it's not my job. My job is to sow. My job is to sow with nothing but love. My job is not to sow and figure out what kind of ground it is and should I sow. Well, that looked like thorny to me. I'm not doing that. That looked like wayside. No. I'm keeping my seeds. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is sow the word, sow the word, sow the word, sow the word. Everything God taught me, sow it, sow it. Don't worry about where it lands. Just sow it, just sow it, just sow it, just sow. And guess what? That's your job too. Whatever God taught you, sow it. Sow it. Just sow it. Just sow it. Guess what? Some stuff looks like it's not growing, and one day it's going to grow when you're not there to see it. That's what I said. I saw the man yesterday. He said, man, you changed my life. Well, wait a minute. I told you that 7 years ago, man. Yeah, but it's changing my life right now. What? Seed doesn't have an expiration date? Nope. You just sow. You just pour out. Here's why this is all important. I'm not going to take you to another passage. I'm just going to explain this. My struggles are always addressed in obedience to God. Okay? My struggles are always addressed in my obedience to God. But this is what God sometimes does. God sometimes tells me things to do that look nothing like addressing my issues. So I'm saying, God, I need you to meet my need over here. I need you to provide for me over here. I'm asking for provision. God says, go talk to that person over there. I will, but right now I need you to meet my need, Lord. I need you to, son, go talk to him over here. Lord, okay, Lord, but I need you, son, go talk to the man. No, Lord, go over there. Okay, Lord, but look. And what happens? The standoff happens. And what I'm doing is I'm getting drunk with wine. I'm over here getting drunk off asking God. Oh, I'm asking God. Oh, I'm really into asking God. I'm all drunk on asking God. Oh, I've been praying and fasting. I've been seeing my way. I'm all drunk on that foolishness. And God said, go over there and talk to that man. And you finally go over here and talk to the man. Brother, this is what God told me to do this. And you walk away. And then the person walks back in the room a few days later with an envelope with $5,000 cash in it. You say, what? What? Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. When I'm over here asking you and fasting and praying, seeking the Lord's face, because I really need to hear from you, Jesus. Go over there and talk to that man. The Lord told me to tell you this. And God used them to meet the need. Why is that funny? Because it's true. It's really happened. And it happened to her. Twice. Three times, excuse me. Why? God sees you. God's trying to use you. But the obedience to God is what he uses to meet your needs. So sometimes we're asking and begging God, and God has given us instructions, and we just have to obey the instruction of God and let God do what he does. Why? Because he's the one that meets our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And guess what? The cattle on a thousand hills belongs to God, and he can do with it whatever he chooses. But sometimes he just needs us to obey so we can be in the right place to get our need met by what he's appointed. That's why he had to tell Jeremiah, he said, I need you to turn back to me. I need you to turn back to me. I want to use you. I need to use you, Jeremiah. But you're letting your emotions get the best of you. You're letting your feelings get you off track. You're letting these things, these needs, you're letting these things, you have a need to be accepted, and these people are rejecting you. I know that. I already know that. But I'm telling you, I need you to reach into darkness, and I need you to pull something out. I will meet your needs if you can obey what I'm telling you to do, but I need you to be the church that I need you to be. And then when you do that, then when you've done that, I will meet your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus, because I'm not restricted. I don't have any limitations. I'm God. That's what God is calling for us. He's calling for us to be the church. And when we are the church, we'll get our needs met. But we got to be the church. Be what God's calling us to be so that he can pour out his spirit into all flesh and do what he's trying to do. We have spent time trying to get people to see through a political process and personally getting manipulated. Yesterday, the leader of the Ku Klux Klan says, our president told us to do this. What? What? Our president told us to do this. Now, what do? Do I start getting mad and I start saying, see, I knew the president was a dirty dog all this time. I already knew he was bad. I already knew he was evil. I saw it even on the campaign trail. I saw how evil he was. Or do I recognize God's not surprised? God's not moved by this. And God's going to require me to reach into some darkness and put the light in there. Guess what? God's going to require that. Guess what? There may be people who look at me and judge me based on my color, but that doesn't make any difference because I'm here to influence them. They're not influencing me. I'm with the King. I'm in the kingdom. I'm not influenced by that.
Hallelujah.
I'm the light. And when the light shines in dark places, the first thing that most people have to do is cover their eyes. And I realize that already. When I shine on you, you may not like it. You may not like it. But when your eyes adjust, you'll realize I came to help you. That's what the church is required to do. The church is required to shine in places that are dark right now. And when people see it, they're not going to want to respond. But that's okay. You just keep on shining. You keep shining. You keep on shining. You keep on shining when people don't want to hear it. You keep on shining when people say you're stupid for believing that. You keep on shining. When I was an atheist, I told people, you're stupid for believing in God. I told them all that. And then one day I was on my knees. You heard the song? I can see clearer now here on my knees. Yes. You get down on your knees, you will see clearer. You'll see that you're not in charge. You're not in control. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I have been given influence and I am going to use it for the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand on your feet. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be the church. Change your world. We've been sent here to change things. We've been sent here to change things. But we got to change it according to God's design and not ours. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So we're going to pray.
Praise God, and thanks for listening to this message. For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center, feel free to check out our website at alwc.us. On our site, you'll find more information about us, our church, and our events calendar. You'll also find other messages that you might find of interest to you. Once again, the site is alwc.us. You can also find us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/abundantlifeworship.net. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you on our next broadcast. Until then, remember that Jesus came to give you life, and that more abundantly.